So as we've been reporting all morning, Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia has died at the age of 92. He was hospitalized over the weekend and succumbed this morning very early at about 3 a.m. He was the nation's longest serving senator. And as we around the nation and certainly in Washington mourn his passing, you know, he mourned the passing of traditions he held very, very dear in the Senate. For many years, certainly towards the end, railing against the erosion of constitutional authority and confronting presidents, railing against the diminishing or loss of civility among debates
Absolutely.
In the Senate, something that he held very dear. Here he is lashing out against the Bush administration in January of 2007.
Our nation did not ask to be put into another Vietnam. Let us not deceive ourselves that we are somehow immune to another Cambodia. Let us stop a reckless, costly war in Iran or Syria before it begins by restoring the checks and balances that our founders so carefully designed.
While some in Washington viewed checks and balances and constitutional principles as things to get around
That's
in
right.
the pursuit of power, Robert Byrd, I think, embraced them, a constitutional authority like no other, an institutional memory of the Senate like no other. Joining us to talk about Robert Byrd and what's going to continue or not continue in Washington as a result of the passing of Senator Robert Byrd is Todd Zwillick, of course, Takeaway Washington correspondent. You can read his obit for Senator Byrd at thetakeaway.org. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
You know, what happens, perhaps it's ghoulish to focus on this, but what happens now in terms of Robert Byrd's critical, very important vote for the Democrats in the Senate?
Well, as of right now, that vote is vacant. And as of right now, there are 99 votes in the Senate, not 100. The question now is the law in West Virginia. Every state has its own laws when a seat is vacated. And in the case of West Virginia, because Senator Byrd has died before July 3rd, the governor of that state must appoint a replacement who must run in a special election. The governor is Joe Manchin III. He's a Democrat. And he has political aspirations
National
of his own.
Political aspirations.
Apparently, yes. Now, we can't say what he would do in terms of trying to get that seat for himself. We just don't know. But he is a Democrat. Often in this case, what you would do is appoint somebody who agrees to hold the seat until the next election, which would be in 2012, and then anyone could run. We do know who on the Republican side would like to have that seat. That's Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito. She's a popular Republican, the only Republican in the West Virginia congressional delegation. On the Democratic side, the field's a little less clear.
Right. Well, certainly today in Washington, there will be thoughts about the traditions in the Senate that Robert Byrd held so dear. Take me through the kinds of statements you think we're going to be hearing today, Todd.
Well, I think we're going to hear statements about his long career, his 18,000 votes plus in the Senate. He was a mentor to so many. You know, John, you reminded me, when Barack Obama first came to the Senate, I interviewed him once and was just talking to him about being a young senator. And he said that when he got there, one of the first things he was instructed to do by colleagues was go talk to Senator Byrd. Go sit with Senator Byrd. Just go sit with him. And he said, I did. And I got my, not my marching orders, but I got my setup. I got my cover from Senator Byrd when I was a young senator when I first got there. And I think many of them had the exact same experience with
him. Well, he's the author of a 4-volume official history of the U.S. Senate, something that he began. He certainly takes his place along with names like John Calhoun, Henry Clay, towering figures in the Senate. Of course, he served longer than all of them. We value seniority in the Senate as a place of power. We also value it in the U.S. Supreme Court. The Senate will get the Elena Kagan confirmation hearings going today. Joining us now is Jamal Green, Associate Professor of Law at Columbia Law School, a law clerk to retiring Justice John Paul Stevens, whose last day is on the court today. Jamal Green, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, 34 years on the court for John Paul Stevens, 9 terms in the Senate for Robert Byrd. This is a day to really be thinking about seniority. Your thoughts on the departure of John Paul Stevens? This is his last official day.
Well, I think John Paul Stevens, like Senator Byrd, is a tie to another era, an era of civility. I think when you walk into his office, the first thing you think is, well, what a decent civil person. And that then the things have changed, certainly on the Senate side, and I wouldn't say quite as much at the Supreme Court, but certainly harkens back to another time, a more kind of gentlemanly time, not to be gender imbalanced.
You clerked with Justice Stevens. I'm wondering if in a time of change, he expressed openly to you the need to hold on, to hold back forces that maybe he was a little uncomfortable with.
He never said that to me personally. I think there are certainly traditions that he thought were important, and he put those in his judicial opinions. But he wasn't someone who was unwilling to change with the times. And there are both actually issue positions and matters of technology that didn't change with him. I mean, where he actually did change. So you know, he used email and more so than some other justices on the court. So change wasn't something he was afraid of.
A modern guy. He used email. That's great. The Jamal Green clerked with the Justice John Paul Stevens, who is 34 years on the court, has us thinking about legacy on the day of Robert Byrd's passing in the Senate. Would he have wanted a particular legacy that his replacement would reflect the carrying of a torch forward in some sense, or doesn't he care?
I think he would want his legacy to be, you know, he was a good judge. Justice Stevens is an impressively modest person, and I think anything more than that would probably embarrass him. So I think that he was a fair, decent, good judge would be enough for him.
Jamal Green, Associate Professor of Law at Columbia Law School, law clerk to Justice John Paul Stevens between 2006 and 2007. Thank you, Jamal. Todd Zwillick, before we go, the Elena Kagan hearings, are they going to reflect any sort of tone differently because of the passing of Robert Byrd, or are things likely to get more strident than we were even predicting as late as last week?
I don't think there's any chance that these hearings will go forward today without statements from every single senator who gets near an open microphone talking about the life and legacy of Robert Byrd. It'll overshadow the hearings today. I don't think there's any question about it. He is the embodiment of the U.S. Senate, and they all know it.
And if you want to look at the milestones in an extraordinary life, go to thetakeaway.org. Todd Zwillick has an obituary and a biography of Robert Byrd. Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.